Good afternoon, everybody, and thank you so much for joining us. I know it's the first session of Build. Super stoked that all of you could make it out here. My name is Marwan Hade. I'm a senior program manager on the Microsoft Flow team. I've been with Flow since its very conception, almost 2.5 years ago, and I'm really excited about how far we've come in the past couple of years. I drive primarily integrations for the team into things like SharePoint, OneDrive for Business, Teams, et cetera. I also drive our approval strategies, and we'll get into both of that in a little bit in this session. But you're here today to talk about how you can streamline business processes with Flow and Office 365. You're here because your team has a big backlog. So you're an enterprise developer. Your team has a huge backlog of workflows, but not enough time, money, or manpower to implement them. Or you're an ISV, and you need to find a quick way to build a solution for your customer for their data that lives in either Office, in Dynamics, or Azure. Or lastly, anytime you see the word streamline, you're in, because what could go wrong, right? Now, before we get started, how many of you have heard of Flow by show of hands? Sweet, almost all of you. And how many of you have used or built one or more Flows? Okay, a little fewer of you. Well, we've had great momentum in the past year and a half or so. We've had over 1.1 million monthly active users across Power Apps Flow and the Common Data Service, with over 213,000 organizations betting their business on these products. Some of the notable names include folks like NASCAR, Standard Bank, TransAlta, and J&J Pepsi. And you can read about how they're using our products on our websites. In today's session, what we'll do is we'll talk about how Flow fits in to the Microsoft Business Application Platform. We'll then deep dive into Flow and understand how to build a Flow and how it integrates with Office 365. Specifically, we'll look at Flow and Excel. It says new. We'll see what that means. We'll talk about Flow and Teams, and then we'll also talk about SharePoint and Flow, as well as approvals. We'll then also discuss how do you, as a professional developer, plug into this ecosystem through Azure connectors and through Azure functions and custom connectors. And finally, we'll round things off with a roadmap of where we're headed in the next 6 months. So the Microsoft Business Application Platform. Business software is hard, said everyone who's ever built it, bought it, or used it. I mean, all of us want to deliver a great experience inside of our companies, but we just don't have the time, the money, or it's really time-consuming. And you just don't have great enterprise capabilities within your company. For example, if somebody's in finance and they want to get data from their peers to do some calculations, yeah, they could build an app and they could go to their IT, but IT is probably going to say, hey, this just doesn't meet our priority bar. Figure out another way to do it. But what we're trying to do with the business application platform is we're trying to change that paradigm. We're trying to put the power of being able to create applications and create workflows in the hands of the people that are closest to that data, the business developers, the citizen developers, the business analysts within your enterprise. Now, we do that with three main products. Now, when you think about any modern-day business, there's three things that you'd see this business doing. First and foremost, you're trying to measure how your business is doing. You try to understand the key performance metrics for your business. And you do that using Power BI. In addition, once you have an understanding of how your business is doing, you want to set up a way to either pull in data or push out data. You want a way to act on your data. And that's where Power Apps comes into the picture. And then lastly, once you have your processes in place, you want a way to automate things. And that's where Flow comes into the picture. Now, both Power Apps, Microsoft Flow, and Power BI have another layer called the Common Data Service, which is used for holding that data. So you have the Common Data Service for apps on the Power Apps and Flow side, and you have the Common Data Service for analytics on the Power BI side. So this is where if you want a way to pull in data from multiple data sources and hold it in a single place, or if you want a database where you can write your data or you read your data from, that's where these two products come into the picture. Now, powering all three of these products is a rich layer of data connectors. And that's really the magic sauce behind Power Apps Flow and Power BI. It's this rich connectivity to a variety of data sources, from SharePoint, OneDrive for Business, to Exchange, to Facebook, to Twitter, to Instagram, to Slack, to Yammer, and so forth and so on. We'll go through some of these connectors a little later in this presentation. Now, the great thing about all these products is that it's built on top of Azure, which means that you get the reliability, the scalability, and the compliance that you expect from an enterprise-grade platform. This platform is built not just for data in Dynamics or in Office, but also for standalone apps. In fact, we're using the same platform for a suite of applications coming out later this year around talent management. So let's talk about Microsoft Flow. Microsoft Flow helps non-developers, the citizen developers within your companies, to work smarter and more efficiently by automating workflows across their favorite apps and services. With Flow, you can set up an automated workflow that helps you get notification. So for example, if your manager sends you an email, you get a push notification on your phone. Or if a file gets added to SharePoint or OneDrive for Business, you can get an email with details about that file and a link to it. You can also use Flow to copy files. Like, let's say you're on a business trip, and you have your phone set to sync to either OneDrive or Google Drive. Well, when people upload those pictures when you upload those pictures into OneDrive or Google Drive, you can set up a Flow that automatically moves those pictures into, let's say, OneDrive for Business or SharePoint, where you can share it with the rest of your team. You can also use Flow to collect data. For example, you can listen to what people are saying about you on Twitter and put that into something like SQL and connect it to Power BI and spot trends over time. You can also run sentiment analysis on it if you want before putting it into SQL. So you get a sense of what people are saying and how they're saying it. Is it positive? Is it negative? Et cetera. And lastly, you can use Flow to automate approvals. Now, when you think about workflows, approvals is almost synonymous. You almost always hear about it in the same breath. And in Flow, we've made sure that we have a great experience for approvals. Approvals for data in SharePoint, approvals for data in Dynamics, and so forth and so on. When you assign an approval to somebody, we show you all of your pending and sent approvals in the Unified Approval Center. We send you a push notification. We also allow you to respond via actionable messages. And we'll see all of that a little later in this presentation. Now, for those of you that have heard of Flow, I think you've almost always heard us say automated flows. And it's a picture on your left-hand side, automated flows there. So this allows you to create anything from a simple two-step flow to an advanced flow with parallel branches, conditionals, and much, much more. We've recently also added business process flows. And this is something that we're working on. It's still out in some of our early preview environments. We'll be rolling out soon. But the idea is to have business process flows with almost these stages, a stage-like UI that allows you to move from one stage to another, almost like a state machine, depending on changes in your data hosted in the Common Data Service or in Dynamics. So today we'll be focusing on automated flows. So let's understand what makes up an automated flow. Now, there's two fundamental concepts when it comes to any workflow. The first one is a trigger. It's the event that kicks off your flow. Now, triggers can be of three types. It could be a manual trigger, which means that somebody literally pressed a physical button, like a flick button or a BTTN button, or a button on the Flow mobile app, or it could be a virtual button, for example, in SharePoint. The next kind of trigger is a schedule-based trigger. So it's a flow that runs every minute, every hour, every week, every month, etc. And then lastly, and most commonly, we have flows that are event-driven. For example, when an item is created in Dynamics, when a new file is uploaded to SharePoint, so forth and so on. The second fundamental concept in Flow is that of an action. It's what the flow does when the trigger condition is met. Now, in this case here, we have a flow that is triggered when a new lead is added in Dynamics 365. It then sends an email to the owner of that lead, asking them to follow up on the lead and giving them details about the topic and the last name of that lead. So notice here that in Flow, you can pass data from a trigger or from an upstream action to any of the actions that follow that trigger or that specified action. Now, like I mentioned, the secret sauce behind Flow is its connectivity. And we have connectivity to over 200 And this keeps growing week by week, so I'm always off on the number, but it's over 200 last time I checked. 200 SaaS cloud services. And this is for file providers, for databases, for CRM software, for web APIs, for productivity apps, and much, much more. If you have your data on-premise, let's say you're using SQL on-prem or SharePoint on-prem, we have you covered using a data gateway. If you want to connect your workflows to some existing line of business APIs, we have you covered through custom connectors. If there's a connector that's missing here, just go ahead and build your own custom connector, bring it in through Swagger, and you're ready to go. Now, to help you get started, we have thousands of templates. A template is essentially just a flow that's ready to go. You come in, give it your credentials, tell us which mailbox to listen to, tell us which folder to put your file into, et cetera, and your flow is ready to go. So let's take a quick look at how we can get started with Flow. Okay, so I'm here in the Flow website. I'll give you a quick tour here. You can get started with a variety of template collections as well. We have these collections sorted by the type of scenarios you're trying to achieve. So for software developers, for HR, to improve your productivity, to do classroom tasks as well. You can see all of the different services. Like I said, last time I checked it was 200, now it's 221. The number keeps going up. Now, the great thing about Flow is that it's not just restricted to one or two steps. You actually can add as many steps as necessary. You can have branching conditions. You can have looping and much, much more. So what we're going to do here is we're going to instantiate a template. So save Office 365 email attachments to OneDrive for Business. Because it's really hard. When somebody emails you and they send you an attachment, it's really annoying because it's so hard to find that attachment in your inbox. So what this allows you to do is whenever you get an email and it has attachments, just puts it into OneDrive for Business, a specified folder, so you can go in later and search for it. Now, this is actually one of our most popular templates. As you can see, it's been instantiated many, many times. And I will quickly just update my connection. For a second. So what's going on here? Now, one of the important things about Flow is that when you're using a Flow, we always do it in the context of you. We're using your credentials. One of the design philosophies that we have in Flow is that we're trying to help you automate anything that you would do manually. So in this case, when the Flow runs, it's actually listening to my inbox. It's using my connections. In this case, it's a demo tenant. But it's using my connections for Outlook. It's using my connections for OneDrive for Business. So I'll go ahead and create this flow here. Now, this is one of those one-click flows which just magically gets instantiated. But we'll go to edit this flow and see the details of what's going on. So in this case, what the flow is doing is whenever I get a new email in my inbox, and it also shows me my other folders, I'm going to filter for those emails that have attachments. So I have the has attachment equals to yes. And I'm going to include those attachments, right? What I'm going to do next is I'm going to iterate over attachments. Now, attachments is returned to me as a collection or an array. And so I'm going to iterate over each attachment, and I'm going to upload it into a folder in OneDrive for Business called Email Attachments from Flow. I'm just going to give the file name as the name of the attachment, and I'm also going to include the content. So let me go ahead and click Test here. Now, Test is actually a brand new capability that we just introduced. You can actually test your flow inline. You can either perform this trigger action or use data from previous runs. In this case, let me go ahead and perform the trigger action. So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to send an email from another person in this tenant, Chris's boss in this case, Jason Moore, who's going to email Chris reminding him to attach a cover sheet to his TPS report. Any fans of Office Space out there? Yes, quite a few of you. Great. My favorite movies. So we will send a new email. We'll send it to Chris. And we'll give it a subject. Attach a cover sheet to your TPS report. And we'll just give it a name. We'll say I'm going to need you to do this ASAP. Did you get the memo? And we'll just attach the memo here. And we'll go ahead and send that. Now, as soon as that's sent, what the flow is doing is it's listening for a new email in the inbox. And within a few seconds, as soon as it's received, it tells me that the flow run succeeded. It also tells me how long the flow took, 1 second for reading the particular email, and another second for creating the file in OneDrive for Business. And if I switch over to OneDrive for Business, there's a new folder created, and lo and behold, I have that file that was uploaded into my folder in OneDrive for Business. So let's take a little deeper look into how Flow integrates into Office 365, and we'll start to look at some more complicated demos. We'll get really look into the weeds of how far along you can get with Flow. Now, before we do that, I wanted to introduce a new concept that we've added in the last few months. You can now write expressions within a flow. Now, we've always had this in Logic Apps, and we had it in some form or another in Flow using Compose, but now we have a first-class experience for writing expressions directly in your flow. What do these expressions allow you to do? Well, first and foremost, you can convert types. So if something comes in as, let's say, a string, you can cast it as an integer. You can also use it to perform simple inline calculations, let's say for string manipulation. Like you can get the index of a particular character within a string or get a substring of that string. You can also use it to do basic arithmetic, like addition, subtraction, multiplication, division, etc. You can also do date-time manipulation. Other interesting things, you can handle an if condition directly inline within an action. And lastly, and this is something that we use very commonly, you can use expressions to iterate through lists. For example, if you want to get the first element in an array or the last element in an array, or check the length of an array, you can use expressions to do that. Okay, so let's talk about Flow in Office 365. Flow is the automation tool for Office 365. We have connectors for all of the major Office 365 services, from Outlook and SharePoint and OneDrive for Business and Teams and Excel and Planner and Forms and Yammer to OneNote. And I'm sure there's more that I couldn't fit into this nice 3x3 grid. But we also have integrations, more importantly, with SharePoint, OneDrive for Business, Teams, Excel, and Outlook. And the whole logic, our whole design principle behind these integrations is that we're trying to give you something in context of the data that you're working on. Because if you're in SharePoint, you selected a file, you can run a flow directly on that file, and you know exactly what you want to say about that file. And that's the whole idea behind these integrations. We'll look at a few of them in detail in just a second. But the great thing I want to point out is if you have an Office 365 license, you already have all of the knowledge, all of the skills, and the license necessary to get started with Flow. So do get started with Flow if you haven't already. Now, very recently, in the last 2 months, we added the ability to, added an integration in Microsoft Teams. You can post messages to any Teams channel from a Flow. In addition, within Teams directly, using an embedded experience, you can access your personal flows. Like I showed the creation of a flow, you can do that in Teams directly. We also have an approval center directly in Teams. So if somebody sends you an approval request, they can give you a message about it, let's say. You can go in and do that approval directly from within the context of Teams. In addition, we also have a flow bot that you can use to trigger manual schedule-based flows. And this integration is just going to get better over time. Actually, before I do that, I'm going to go back, and we're going to do a big reveal. Boom. So announcing, for the very first time in public, I'm serious, you guys are the first people to find this out, we have a flow integration in Excel. And the idea is that with your tabular data, you can now connect it to all of the over 200 services that Flow has to offer, including Outlook, Dynamics, Teams, Approvals, etc. How do we do that? Well, first and foremost, we're introducing a brand new trigger called for a selected row. So the idea is that when you select a row in Excel, you can run a flow on it, and we'll get the context of the row that you've selected, and we'll pass over the data that's in that row as well. Now, In addition, we also have an embedded experience directly in Excel called the Flow Launch Panel. This panel will prompt you for your credentials, and it'll then ask you for any manual inputs that you want to accompany with this Flow run. Now, the great thing about this is that flows run in the context of the user. Now, many of you that have used Flow will have noticed that typically when flows run, event-driven flows, they use the maker's credentials. It's the person that set up the flow. Well, with manual flows, you can actually specify that the invoker gets to bring in their own credentials. So for example, if you're sending an email, you're posting a message to Teams, you're creating a new item in SharePoint, all of that is done using the invoker's credentials. And accompanying that change is the ability to share a flow with another individual with run-only permissions. So in Flow, we have two kinds of permissions. One is you can add somebody as an owner, as a co-owner, or you can add somebody with run-only permission. If you're a co-owner, you have full edit privileges to that flow. So you can make any changes you want. But with run-only permissions, you get the ability to invoke the flow, but not edit it. You get a sense of what the flow does, because we'll tell you which site it's connecting to, which actions the flow is using, but you don't have the privileges to edit that flow. When is this shipping? It's a big question. We're starting out as an Office add-in. We'll be in the box later, and this is coming soon to a spreadsheet near you. So stay tuned. But I'm not going to leave you there. I'm actually going to show you a demo of Flow working in Excel. Okay. Now, let's imagine that I work for a large renewable energy production company called Cronus Energy. And what Cronus Energy does is essentially we have commercial analysts that figure out what are the energy targets that we need to meet for this week, right? As part of this process, I establish what are the targets I want to do, want to meet to generate the right amount of revenue, the right amount of profit. I also want to provide for my company what is the minimum energy below which I'll be assessed a fine by the government, and also the max energy above which I just simply won't get enough demand for my energy. Essentially, I'm a commercial analyst. I've put in all this data. What I now want to do is I want to send this data to my ops team. And my ops team is working in SharePoint. I also want to send them an alert so they can go in and act on this data as soon as possible. I can do that using the Flow integration in Excel. So
under the Data tab, we have a new menu called Flow. We'll click on that.
And this is actually an embedded iframe directly within the context of this Excel spreadsheet. Now, I'm using Excel online, but you can use Excel desktop as well. Now, what you're seeing on the right-hand side here are a couple of flows that I've set up that run on this spreadsheet and on this table. In addition, I can also get started from a blank flow, which just gives me the trigger for a selected row, or I can also get started from a series of templates. Templates that allow me to send an email for a selected row, to create another row in a spreadsheet, to send a row for approval, to create a contact in Dynamics, put it in Visual Studio, upload to SharePoint, etc. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to take my existing flow, and we're going to modify it a little bit. Now, notice how all of this is within the context of Excel. I'm not leaving to go flow. All of this is embedded right within my spreadsheet. So I'll go ahead and click Edit. Now, what this flow is currently doing is, for a selected row, I'll expand this. On this particular location in SharePoint, on the document library, for this file, on this particular table, on a selected row, it will run. I specified a manual output here. Now, what are manual outputs? Essentially, these are things that I can prompt my invoker for. So in addition to sending this row data, I can also ask for like an optional message. I can ask them for an email address to send an email to, or I can ask them to upload a file, for instance. So in this case, what I've done is I've added a text input called message. This is what I'm going to use to send to Teams a little later in this flow.
Now here, I'm creating an item in a SharePoint list called Turbine Energy Distribution.
So this is what my ops team uses to figure out what are the turbines that we're going to use based on the energy calculations and energy targets set by my commercial analyst.
So in this case, we have a field in SharePoint called week. We have region, energy needed, min energy, max energy, et cetera. From Excel, I get three types of inputs.
So I have whatever I see in my table. So you'll notice that I have here inputs for things like min energy, max energy, price, profit, region, revenue, et cetera. I also have my manual input message. In addition, I also have context of who's using this flow, the user email, the user name, user ID, et cetera, and also when this flow was invoked with the timestamp.
Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and add a new step, and I'm going to post to Teams.
Sure, let me just finish this demo and we'll get to a question. Oh, sure, yeah. Sure. No, so the question was, were those inputs already there? And the answer is yes, those inputs were already there. So you'll automatically get all of the headers that are in the spreadsheet, and you'll automatically get any manual inputs and context of who's invoking it. That's just out of the box.
Okay, so we seem to run into an error here. We'll just click on it and validate our connection again. Okay, so the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to pick a team. So I'll go ahead and click Cronus Energy. And for the channel, we'll go ahead and pick Operations Planning. And I'm going to provide in a message alerting my team about this energy request. So I'll say, hi, team. I've posted the energy targets for the week of.
And here, I can do something cool. I can actually put in a hyperlink. So I don't just have to give like a bland link or put in like just a textual description. I can put a nice little hyperlink. So I'll do that.
And what I'm going to look for is link to item. There we go. And we'll just put in the week. And let's save this and see it in action.
Okay. You'll notice that the icon updated. That's a cool little thing that we do. We dynamically figure out which connectors you're using and update the icon. I know. Hopefully you'll be applauding for other things, but we'll see. So we'll go ahead and run this flow. And the first thing it prompts me for is the message. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to say, sorry for the delay. It is the 7th after all, and the week started on the 6th. Sorry for the delay. I've been heads down. And I'll go ahead and click Run Flow.
Now, the first thing it does is it tells me which row was selected. So in this case, it was working on row number 7. The flow run was successfully started. If I want, I can also see the flow run activity. So it tells me that it succeeded. And it tells me how long each step took. Also, I can see which row was selected, where the item was created, what data was put in, et cetera. So let me switch over to Teams. And I should see the message being posted. There we go. Hi, team. I've posted the energy. Oh, let's try that again. Well, it seems like our message didn't flow through. But essentially, what it's doing here, it's posting a message. It includes both a hyperlink to the SharePoint item, as well as the message that I typed in Excel. All If I switch over to SharePoint and go into my Turbine Energy Distributions, I see that a new item was added. So this is one that was just created a few seconds ago for the week of 5/6 to 5/12. It has, you'll notice it has all the information that was in my Excel spreadsheet. So it has the region, it has the energy needed, the min energy, max energy, turbines, etc. Actually, I know exactly why the message didn't get passed through. It's because we didn't include it in our flow. So essentially here, we would throw in our message as well, and that would flow through. So using this integration in Excel, like I showed, you can move your data from Excel to a wide variety of sources. I showed SharePoint and Teams, but imagine that you can use this for a wide array of things. Now, no conversation about Flow and Office 365 would be complete without talking about SharePoint. And SharePoint loves Flow, and Flow loves SharePoint. It's not just us saying it, but the SharePoint team says it as well. And this love comes in two shapes. One is by virtue of a connector. So we have triggers and actions for both lists and document libraries. Here on the right-hand side, you'll just see a few examples of those triggers and actions. So we have triggers, for example, for when a new file is added, when a new item is created, when an item is modified, when an item is deleted, et cetera. In terms of actions, you can create a new file, you can delete attachments, delete files, et cetera. I'm pleased to announce that just last week, we released the item deleted trigger. A lot of people have been asking for that. We also added support for sent content approval status. So those of you that are using content approvals in SharePoint, you can now use Flow to change the status. And lastly, we also have an HTTP REST action. So if there's something that we don't support in the connector, you can use the HTTP REST action to go in and leverage any of the APIs that SharePoint offers in its REST API. For example, if you wanted to do and change the item permissions, you can do that right away. In terms of what's coming, additionally, we have read-write support for native SharePoint column types, like people, choice, lookup, taxonomy, and attachments. Coming soon, and we've heard from a lot of you that you desperately want this, is the ability to write for multi-value types. So if you have a multi-value choice, multi-value lookup, you'll be able to write to. And believe me, like, we're working on this. I've seen it work in a preview environment. It's coming. We know a lot of you have asked for it. A little later down the year, we'll have native support for setting permissions on items. You can do that today with the HTTP REST action, but we're going to make it easier as an explicit action in Flow. And then a little later, we'll also have the ability to move files between document libraries and sites. Now, the other focal point of our integration with SharePoint is how we're integrated directly into modern lists and libraries. Now, there are two types of flows that you can create directly from within SharePoint. One, flows that run in the background, and two, flows that run on a selected item. Just like in Excel, we have a launch panel that shows up in SharePoint lists and libraries that allow you to create a flow that prompts you for information, and just like in Excel, you can run as the user starting the flow. In addition, and this is brand new, this is so new that it hasn't even rolled out everywhere, it's rolling out this week. You can share flows with lists and libraries. Now, why is that important? Because up until today, you could only share a flow with a user or a security group. Now, you can share it with a list or a library. And you don't have to worry about who's part of that list or library, et cetera. You just have to take care of membership on the SharePoint side. We will automatically call SharePoint and check whether the given user is a member of that list or library. And we'll do that every time the user is trying to run the flow or edit the flow. All of the permissions are always in sync. Now, no conversation about SharePoint is complete without talking about approvals. Approvals come in all shapes and sizes. In fact, I'm here because somebody approved that I would get to speak at Build. But more commonly, approvals come in the form of vacation requests, of travel authorization forms, of expenses, of mileage reimbursement forms, of equipment rentals, so forth and so on. And also documents like contracts, specs, designs, et cetera.
Since Flow is a successor to SharePoint Designer Workflows, it was almost incumbent upon us as a team to deliver a kick-ass experience with approvals. And we think we've done that. You're, of course, the final jury on that. But we think we've done that with a modern approvals experience. You can streamline your business processes for data in SharePoint, but also in Dynamics 365, in Forms, in SQL, etc. We present your received and sent approval requests in a unified approval center. So you no longer have to go to a task list for a given list or a task list for a document library and so forth and so on. You have a single place where all of your approvals show up. And you can do your approvals on the go from your phone or directly from your inbox using actionable messages. Now, these approval processes can be customized to fit your business needs. You can have sequential or hierarchical approvals. You can have parallel approvals. You can also have all assigned must approve type of approvals. Now, brand new, this launched within the last month and a half or so. We now show you your approval history. So you see your sent requests, receive requests, as well as a history of both sent and receive requests. You can reassign approvals. So for example, let's say you feel like you don't have enough context on a given approval item, you can reassign it to somebody else. And lastly, we also now support Markdown in approval details. So you can send a richly formatted HTML email when you send out an approval request. Now, leveraging the Flow launch panel, the four selected item trigger, the ability to share with lists and libraries, we've introduced a brand new out-of-box feature called Request Sign-Off, which is available on all lists and libraries. It's currently in first release. It will be generally available very soon. But the idea is that you can instantiate a Flow with zero setup. So you just go to Flow, you select a document, go to Flow, request sign-off, enter in your credentials, and the Flow is ready to go. You get a launch panel that prompts you for an approver and a message. And then as that approver responds to that message, the status is tracked in a sign-off status column. And the initiator gets an email with details about what that approver said. Let's take a look at that in action.
So I'm going to go ahead and close Excel. We'll also close OneDrive for Business, close a few of our other sites here.
Now, what our commercial analyst did was she went ahead and created an item in Excel. This then showed up in my turbine energy distribution list. And as the operation capacity manager, I'm like, OK, great. This energy looks good. What I want to do now is I want to select some turbines that will help me generate the energy needed.
So in this case, I'm going to go ahead and I'll go ahead and edit. Before I do that, let's also look at our turbines list. So you'll notice here I have a bunch of turbines. The turbines have a latitude, longitude. They also have a max output capacity. The max output capacity is kind of high. It's because these turbines were built with technology from Wakanda. And also because the demo is nicer. We'll go ahead and edit this item here. And what I'll do is I'll select some turbines that'll help me generate the required energy. So I'll go ahead and select five of these turbines and go ahead and click save. And within a few short seconds, it says my turbines, it shows which turbines I've selected, and I have a flow running in the background as well that will go look at each turbine, iterate over it, get its max output capacity, and update this total energy. Boom, you notice that it updated. How cool is it, by the way, in SharePoint? Like, I love this. That it just updates without me having to touch anything. As soon as it detects that something has changed in the data, it just goes in and updates. Pretty cool. So we'll take a look at how that flow updated the running total. But for now, what we'll do is I'm going to take this particular item with the operation capacities, and I'm going to send it to my manager and make sure that my manager is OK with this particular distribution. So let me click on Flow, click on Request Sign-Off. And I'm going to put in an approver. I'll go ahead and use Jason Moore again. Say, hi, Jason. Could you please review this week's turbines and hit run flow? OK. Now, what it's going to do is it's going to go in and create an approval request and assign it to Jason.
If I want, I can go in and see the progress of this approval request in the Unified Approval Center. So if I go in here and go to flow.microsoft.com, click on Approvals and Sent Requests, scroll all the way to the bottom, I notice that here's that request. And if I switch over to Jason's profile, he's just gotten an approval request from Chris, and it has the message that Chris typed in. Hi, Jason, could you please review this week's turbines? So I'm going to click on this link here. Everything looks good. The energy needed was 115. With our turbines, we're generating 120, which is great because there's still going to be enough consumption for it. It's less than the max energy. Cool. So I'm going to go ahead and click approve. I'm going to say, cool. Jason is a man of few words. As soon as this approval request is processed, you'll notice that the SharePoint list is updated, and the sign-off status column now says approved. And if I switch over to Chris's Outlook inbox, there will be an email with feedback from Jason. There we go. It's been approved. Jason Moore signed off on your item, said it looks cool. Now, the thing I want to point out here is that all of this happened without me having to necessarily go in and build a flow, go in and view the approval center, etc. I was just able to initiate a request for sign-off from SharePoint. It sent an email, an actionable email to Jason. Jason was able to respond to it directly from within their inbox. They didn't have to go in to somewhere else, to the approval center, et cetera. All of that happened within their inbox. And boom, SharePoint was updated, and Jason was notified with details about that approval request. Now I'm going to show you a couple of other flows here, slightly more complicated. So the first one is, how did I get the total energy in this particular list to automatically update based on the turbines that were selected? So we have a flow that runs when an item is created or modified. So it doesn't really matter to us whether it's somebody just made a tweak or if it's a brand new item. But when an item is created or modified, we're initializing a variable. Now, variables are a new thing that we've added to flow in the last few months. You can have variables of type integer, of boolean, of float, of string, object, array, et cetera. So in this case, I'm going to use an integer variable. I'm going to give it a nice little friendly name, like total energy sum. And then I'm going to iterate over the turbines. Now, the thing I want to point out here is that turbines is a multi-value array. And it's actually a multi-value array of type lookup. And I'm iterating over it. I'm iterating over ID. That's something that I pulled in addition to the name of the turbine. And what I'm going to use that ID for is to point to the turbines list and get each turbine. I'm then going to go in and increment my total energy sum with the value of each turbine. So each turbine had a max output capacity. We talked about how it was, you know, really high, 20 to 25 megawatts per turbine. And so here, I have a expression. What it's doing is it's getting the body of this particular item here, get item 2, and it's getting the attribute max output capacity. And it's casting it as an integer, because you can only increment variables, you can only count integers, you can't count strings. So I need to convert that from a string to an integer. Once I've done that, outside of this apply to each loop, I'm then going to go back to my turbine energy list. I'm going to leave the required fields the same, the ID, the week, et cetera. And for the total energy value, I'm going to update it with the running sum. So we'll look at a flow that succeeded. So in this case, we'll see that it was iterating over each turbine. And so in this case, in run number 1, it was going to turbine 1. And it incremented the variable by 25. And once it did the sum of 25 times 4 plus 20, it reached a value of 120. Now, another key part of how we operate at Cronus Energy is that we also want to send out weekly inspections of our turbines. So there's an inspection officer that goes in, looks at a turbine, and sees if there's any faults, takes any pictures, etc. What we then want to do is we want to send out a weekly digest of all of the inspections that have been conducted in the last week. I can do that using Flow as well. So if I click here and go to Edit Flow, so what I'm doing is I'm running a flow, a recurrence-based flow. Remember how I said there's three types of trigger types? We've looked at event-driven, we looked at manual. This is third one, recurrence. This flow runs at 9 a.m. on Monday every week, and I can fine-tune it if I want. I can fine-tune it to run every day. I can fine-tune it to run every other day, et cetera. I'm going to get items from turbine inspections. Let's look at that turbine inspections list real quick. So here it has the week, it has the turbines, the last inspection date, repair required, et cetera. Okay, so it's going to get items. Now here, I'm using an OData filter query. That's another thing that you can do in Flow. You can hone in on the data that, just the data that you need. In this case, what I'm doing is, instead of fetching all of the items, I'm actually fetching just the items that had a last inspection date that was greater than 7 days ago, but less than today. And the way I'm doing that is I have an expression here that says add day. So what I'm doing here is I'm getting today's date, UTC now. I am adding -7 to it, and I'm putting it in a particular format because I don't worry about the time. And I'm going to then compare it to the current date. Now, once I have that, I'm going to use a select. Now, what does select do? Select allows me to get just the specified properties from an output array. So I don't care about everything that's in get items. I just care about a certain select few properties. So in this case, I'm going to get the turbine, the fault code, and the description. I'm then going to go ahead and create an HTML table. So using the select array, I'm going to put it into an HTML table. I'm going to include the headers. I'm going to make the columns automatic. Next, I'm going to send an email to Jason Moore for the inspections that were conducted last week. And notice here that I can also specify formatting if I want. I really have rich HTML capabilities. And we're going to make this a little easier in the future, so you can just go in and interact with it as you would with any other email, and you'll have bold, italics, unordered lists, et cetera. But for now, you can achieve this by typing in HTML. So we'll go ahead and click test, and I'll perform the trigger action. And we'll go ahead and run this flow. Let's make sure our get items wasn't empty. There we go. We have a few items in there. Let's switch over to Jason's email. And there we go. We get a nice little email that has all of the turbine inspections from last week. It's nicely formatted as well, as I specified in my email. Nice little HTML table. Has all of the details like turbine, fault code, and a description. Now we're going to change gears a little bit. We're going to talk about how you, as a professional developer, can use Azure Functions and custom connectors to plug into this wide ecosystem. So what are Azure Functions? Azure Functions is a truly serverless offering. So you don't have to worry about setup. You don't have to worry about scale. And you're charged in terms of how long your function runs. And it runs only based on certain events. You don't really have to worry about any kind of DevOps. You can use Azure Functions, a serverless offering, with the tooling of your choice. And they have support from Node.js to C#, to F#. In fact, Scott talked about this in his keynote a little earlier today. You can also do local development if necessary. Furthermore, you can bind to a wide variety of services like Azure Service Bus, SendGrid, Twilio, Box, OneDrive, etc. Oh, and make sure to check out the session that's right after this at 2:30, where the folks are going to talk about what's new for serverless compute. But let's see what it means to create an Azure function, and we'll then look at also how you can build a connector based on that Azure function. So first and foremost, let's understand what it takes to build a connector. What is a connector? Connectors are wrappers around web APIs that allow you to connect to Microsoft Flow, Logic Apps, and Power Apps. is the same interface for all of these different products. In fact, all of these connectors that you see on the screen here first started off as a custom connector that was built, developed, and then deployed. Why should you build a connector? Well, if you're an enterprise developer, it first and foremost simplifies automation and connectivity to your users. If you're using, for example, if you have some legacy line of business existing APIs that are on-prem and you want your citizen developers to connect to them, the only way to do that is through custom connectors. If you're an ISV, you can use custom connectors to expand the number of services that you integrate with. So you don't have to worry about connecting to Teams on your own or to Twilio to send a text message or to Twitter or to Facebook or to Slack, et cetera. All of that can be taken care of you by virtue of an integration with Flow. You can also use it to increase your adoption. You, as a connector, you instantly get access and you're instantly shown to all of the 1.1 million users that we have for Flow, Logic Apps, and Power Apps. So how do you build a connector? Well, the first step is to develop a custom API. You then validate it and share it within your tenant. Once it's ready for prime time, you then submit it for certification. And there's a link here, aka.ms/API connectors, that you can go to understand what the requirements are and how the certification process works. There's only two requirements when it comes to building a custom API. Have a service with a REST API, and use a supported authentication type, like API key, basic auth, or OAuth2. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you how to register an Azure function as a custom connector and then deploy it within your organization. So we won't actually publicly deploy it, and we'll see why in a second, but we'll at least understand what it takes to deploy it within my tenant. Okay. So what we've done so far with our Kronos Energy demo is that we had a way for our commercial analysts to submit energy targets. We had our capacity manager or our ops manager go in and determine which turbines to use. We then had some turbine inspection officers go in and do inspections. And then these weekly digests were sent based on these inspections. What we now want to do is we want to determine whether it's cost effective to send out a technician for repairing a turbine. Because, for example, if it's 3 a.m. in the morning, you don't want to call a technician and send them out. It just might not be cost effective. You can wait until the end of the week because you're still generating enough energy to meet that minimum target that's established. So what we're going to do is we're going to build an Azure function that helps us calculate the cost effectiveness of sending out a technician for repair. I'm going to switch over here to the Azure portal. And I have a function here, a C-sharp-based Azure function, that takes in a few inputs, like a target energy capacity, a min energy capacity, how long a fix is going to take, as well as the max capacity of a given turbine. Now, based on these inputs, I'm going to do some complex math. I'm going to calculate the lost output, which is just turbine capacity times the amount of time the fix is going to take, plus 3 hours, because a company just takes 3 hours to send people out. We're in northern Canada, and we're going to some remote areas, so it takes some time to get the technicians out. In addition, I also have a cost to fix. Now, the minimum cost to fix is the hours to fix this particular turbine, as well as the cost of an hourly technician. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to check if the target energy capacity minus the lost output, so as a result of the turbine being down, am I below the minimum energy capacity set by the government? If I am, I'm going to be assessed a fine of $10,000, so I better go out and fix that turbine as soon as possible. If not, the lost output is still greater than the min energy capacity. I need to fix it, but not right away. I can wait for the weekly inspection. Now, the cool thing about Azure Functions is that when you click Run, you can actually test your API. So here I have some test values, 115, 100, 12, 20. And when it runs, it tells me that, yes, it is essential for me to fix this particular turbine and also gives a cost to fix, which is $13,000.
Now what I want to do is,
I want to take this Azure function and I want to expose it as a custom connector so that people, so that the citizen developers in my organization, those that are building Power Apps in Flow, can easily connect to this API. Now I don't want to expose them to the complexity of this API. I don't want them to understand that these are all the inputs and outputs and what have you. I want to make it as simple as possible. And that's where the custom connector comes into the picture. Now, right out of the box, Functions allows me to export something. So if we go into platform features and API definition, allows me to export this Azure function directly as a custom connector into Flow. Now, because we're using a different tenant, we'll actually use a different method to go in and create a custom connector. Let's go to custom connectors. We'll create a custom connector. Now, you can start from blank. You can open an API file, or you can import an OpenAPI from a URL, or you can import from a Postman collection. For those of you that are familiar with OpenAPIs, it's also called Swagger in, you know, common vernacular. So we'll go ahead and click import an OpenAPI file. We'll give it a name, like Cronus Energy Demo. And we'll import this file here. Go ahead and click continue. Now, the first thing that it pulls in is an icon background color and a description. So this API determines whether it's cost effective for Cronus to send out a technician for repair. And I'll just quickly show you what that file looks like that I imported. So you notice here, it's fairly blank. The custom connector experience that I'm showing you is actually going to help me populate this entire definition here. So for now, I'm just starting with the title in terms of which endpoint I'm connecting to, as well as a description. So let me go ahead and go to the next section around security. Now, as I mentioned earlier, there are four kinds of authentication types that are supported. You can either go with no authentication, basic auth with a username and password, an API key, or you can also set up OAuth too if you want to use, for example, AD or Facebook or Twitter login. So for the sake of simplicity, I'll go ahead and click on no auth. Next, we'll add an action. So this is where I get to define my triggers and actions. So in this case, I'll add a new action. And I'm going to open up a quick cheat sheet here to just get these nice little descriptions. And I'll explain what I'm doing in just a second. So what I've done is I've created a new action called check cost effectiveness of repair. I've given it a nice little description. This action determines if a technician should be sent for repair. And I've given it a unique operation ID. I can also set its visibility. Should it show up by default? Is it an internal method? Should it be under a see more menu? And go ahead and mark it as important. The next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to import in a request. So I can import from a sample. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to click on get here. And we'll just get our URL from our function. We'll copy that. And we'll paste it here. And hit import. And as soon as that is imported, it instantly knows that I have four inputs, our target energy capacity, a min energy capacity, hours to fix, et cetera. Now, for the target energy capacity, I can actually go in and modify it and make it a little bit more user-friendly. So I can say this is the desired energy capacity in megawatt hours. And I can give it a summary as well and give it a nice little name like target energy capacity. If I want, I can specify a default value as well, so that's when you use the Flow or Power Apps, it instantly comes with that value. Now, I can say whether it's required or not. It's required. I can determine its visibility, say it's important. I can also change its data type. Is it a string? Is it an integer, a number, a boolean, or an array? Now, the reason this is important is because based on these values, the workflow designer will tailor the experience accordingly. So, for example, if I set it as an integer, we'll have some kind of validation in place that prompts the user to enter in other number values or other integer values. It will automatically filter out any string values. So leave it as a string. Now I'll do the same thing for my response as well. So I'll go ahead and click here.
We'll import from a sample. And what I'll do is I'll switch back to Azure Functions, click Run here. And I'll go ahead and copy my output here. Click Import. And boom, it knows that I have two outputs, a cost to fix and a message. So if I click on cost to fix, for example, I can give it a nice little description, change the title, make it a little bit more readable, and give it a nice little name as well. So cost of repairing the turbine. And just like with my inputs, I can specify its visibility. Is it important? Is it internal or advanced? You can also specify its type. So go ahead and say it's important. And we'll leave it as blank. Okay. So the next thing would be to create this connector. Now, to save us some time, I've gone ahead and created a custom connector called Cronus Energy. I have added a nice little icon, given it a nice background color, and I've given all of the inputs and outputs nice names. Now, what I want to show you here is that I can share this custom connector with users in my organization. I can share with everybody. Currently, it is. It's shared with everybody at Contoso, which is my tenant, or Cronus Energy. And I can also choose to share it with certain users, if necessary. So let's quickly recap where we were with our flow, and then we'll also look at how we can import this Azure Functions custom connector and use it in our workflow. Okay, so far, what I had was I had my commercial analyst who entered in data in Excel and alerted the team. I had my capacity manager who interacted with SharePoint and determined which turbines to use. I had my service inspector go in and create inspections. I then created an Azure function to calculate the cost effectiveness. What I now want to do is I want to call this Azure function from a flow. And if it is indeed cost effective to send out a technician, I want to send an email and a text message to that technician. A lot of moving pieces. Let's see how it goes. So I'll switch over to my flows. I have a flow here called to fix, or not to fix, since that is the question. So the trigger is when an item is created. So when a new turbine inspection is created, I'm going to check if the repair required is set to yes. So my turbine inspector, when they looked at that particular turbine, did they say that this particular thing is broken? What kind of fault code is it reporting? And most importantly, is the repair required field set to yes or true? If it is, I'm first and foremost going to get required energy. So I'm going to go in and go to the turbine energy distribution list and understand what was the energy required for this week? What were my targets? I'm also going to get the turbine information for a given turbine. So again, I'll use the turbine ID field. Now, the beautiful thing here is I'm actually using lookup fields. Again, turbine and week are lookup fields that are included as part of my turbine inspection list. Now, based on that, I'm going to check the cost effectiveness of repair. So I'm going to pass in the target energy capacity, the minimum energy capacity, the hours for fix, and capacity. Now, notice how these are all of the fields that I actually entered in my custom connector. So I'm not actually dealing with what my Azure function looked like. I'm actually dealing with something much easier. And that the custom connector that I built actually served as documentation for my end users. It was a way for them to easily consume the API that I've been operating under the covers. So here, I can see the description, like this action determines if a technician should be sent out for repair. Here, if I were to remove this, you'll see it has a desired energy capacity in megawatt hours. Let's go ahead and click energy needed. Now, if the value returned back from my Azure function is yes, which means that a fix is required, I'm then gonna point to another SharePoint list called Technicians on Call, and I'm gonna get the technicians for this particular week. And then I'm gonna send them both an email as well as a text message. So I'm gonna say the turbine name is reporting an error with fault code and include the details of that particular fault as well. So let me go ahead and save this flow. And we'll test it as well. I'll say I'll perform the trigger action. So let me go ahead and create a new inspection. So we'll create new. We'll select the week as this week. Turbine, let's say it's Chetwynd 004. Its inspection date is of today. Repair is required. The fault code is there's a fire. And the estimated repair effort is going to take a while because the fire is crazy. It's going to go with 12. Fire, or we'll just go with, and go ahead and click save. Okay. So, as soon as that's saved, the flow kicks in. Item is created. Repair required was yes. Got the required energy. Got the turbine information. And the result was that the cost of fix was $13,000. And it sent a text message and an email to a certain individual who happens to share my phone number. And there you have it. Chetwynd 004 is reporting an error with fault code 300. Fire, and the details are And so a lot of moving pieces there, but I want to point out that Flow is able to connect to a variety of data sources, from SharePoint to email to Twilio, as well as our custom connector that helps calculate cost effectiveness of making that fix. Yes? Yes. Yes. So the question was, can you also connect to non-Microsoft data sources? And the answer is absolutely. You can connect to a wide variety of data sources. For example, if you're connecting to, let's say, like Twilio, for example, is a non-Microsoft data source. If you're connecting to I'm not sure if Evernote is one of the connectors, but it might be. I know OneNote certainly is, but that's something that you can check. And the good news is that if it's not one of our supported connectors, you can always go in and build one yourself as well. And I think I'm on input 8. So let's recap real quick what we did. So we had a SharePoint list for turbine inspections. I had a flow that was watching for changes. I then called an Azure function to calculate the cost effectiveness of that particular change, and then I found out who's on call in SharePoint, and I sent them both an email as well as a text message with details from my SharePoint list about what went wrong. Now, we talked about how you can build a custom connector as one way to plug into the ecosystem. Another way to plug into the ecosystem is by embedding Flow. So inside your website or application, you can host an iframe of Flow templates. You can also log the user in and show their specific flows tied to your service. That's what we do, for example, in Excel. And you can run or invoke a particular flow as well. In addition, you can also see an embedded view of the approval center filtered for your service. That's something that we've done in Teams. It's something that we'll be doing in SharePoint as well for content approvals. You can read a little bit more here, aka.ms/flow-embed. So let's talk a little bit about where we're headed in the next few months. Now, I'm not going to talk about everything because we're a busy team, we're an agile team, we're shipping a lot almost every week, but I do want to point out a few highlights. So very soon, we'll be allowing you to customize the from and also include attachments in your modern approvals experiences. We'll have the request sign-off flow for SharePoint Online. We'll also have multi-value read-write support in SharePoint. And we'll also be including the Excel integration directly in Office. A little later, we'll have rich HTML text editors to help you write your emails.
And a little later in the year, and this is pretty exciting, we'll be able to do Azure Functions directly from within Flow. So you won't have to write your Azure function in the Azure portal, create a custom connector, then come to Flow and then connect to it. You'll be able to do it directly from within Microsoft Flow. So I'd encourage you, if you haven't tried it already, so to try Flow using the community plan. You get an environment. It's actually fully featured, so you get access to our premium connectors as well, get the common data service. Essentially, it gives you all the bells and whistles of the full Flow license, but the only thing you can't do is you can't share your Flow with other users. But you can at least get an understanding of what the platform has to offer. So the link there is powerapps.microsoft.com/community-plan. No session is complete without pointing you to more information. I'm doing another session a little later in the day, build and extend apps for Office 365. Content will be very similar. Jokes might be different. On a serious note, we'll be talking a lot more about Power Apps. So I showed Turbine Inspections. We'll talk about how you can build an app for Turbine Inspections. We'll look at a few different examples as well on the Flow side. Tomorrow, one of my teammates, Steven, is doing a session on automating business processes and approvals with Microsoft Flow, so he'll be deep diving into both of those. We'll also talk about, on Wednesday, developing a custom connector for Microsoft Flow and Power Apps. So if that's something that interests you, definitely do check out that session by Sunay and Tessa. And then lastly, we have a deep dive on Power Apps and CDS on Wednesday as well. So thank you very much for attending. Please complete your evaluations to win prizes. If you like this session, if you love this session, please give me full marks. If you didn't like this session, leave feedback and still give me full marks. But thank you so much for coming. I do have some swag here as well. There's some t-shirts, some badges, some phone sleeves, t-shirts and caps, so do check it out. But we have a few minutes, I'd love to open the room up for questions. And because I know it's really hard to ask questions, I've been in your position, and you always feel like, are my peers gonna judge me when I ask a question? So what we're gonna do is, if you ask questions, the first five people to ask a question, I'm gonna give them away a Flow-branded Flick button, which you can use for setting up manual automation. Sure, yes, and I'd encourage you, if possible, to come up to the mic so that everyone else can hear your question and we can pick it up as well. But yes, I can repeat your question if necessary. Sure. So the question was, where can I go for documentation? So docs.microsoft.com has some great documentation around Flow. You can actually get, and it's categorized by, you know, for beginners, for intermediate, for advanced. Another source that I'd point you to also is the Flow community. So if you go to flow.microsoft.com, go to learn, we point you to our community. That's a rich treasure trove of data as well. And that also has links to our tutorials. So I'd say start from the Flow website, go under learning. You should be able to find things. We're also on YouTube as well. We've done a lot of guided learning videos to help you get started. So I think that's a great resource to get you bootstrapped with Flow. And I'll give you one of those flicks. Yeah. Interesting question. What do they do? So essentially, you can use a flick to kick off a manual workflow. So for example, you can press that button and you can say, I've entered the building. Or if you plug it to IoT, for example, you can use it to kick off a process. So essentially, what it does is it serves up a trigger, a manual trigger, and you can use it to kickstart your workflow. Just like I did for SharePoint, like when I selected an item, this allows you to just do it in the physical world. You press a button. Yes?
You mentioned the free community version or whatever that was.
Yes.
So is there a per user license fee? What's the cost of using this?
Sure. Yeah, so the community license is more for just trying out and getting started with Flow. But Flow is included as part of Office 365 and Dynamics 365 for most of the SKUs. So what that means is, if, for example, you have an Office 365 license, like let's say an E3, each license gets 2,000 Flow runs per month per user, and it's pooled together. So if you have, you know, let's say 10 users, it's 2,000 times 10, you get 20,000 runs. We also have a separate offering called Flow Plan 1, which gives you access to our premium connectors. So with Office 365, out of the box, you get connectivity to just the O365 services and some other free ones. With P1, you get access to our premium services, and you can also get a P2 license if you want admin capabilities as well.
And that's an add-on to the existing 365 license.
That's correct. Like that's correct. So the Flow Plan 1 and Plan 2 are on top of your existing O365 license. That's correct.
Got it. Yeah. Thanks.
Thanks. Yeah. Yes. Sure. Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. I'll just delete this. Yes. Thank you. Is that the one you're looking for? Okay. Yes.
Can I force out flows to users? So if I build a flow, I don't have a lot of users that aren't going to be able to self-service this.
Right.
So how do I build a flow for them and force it out to them?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on what kind of flow you're building, but I think the easiest way to do that is to build a manual flow and share it with them. For example, if it's for SharePoint, if it's for Excel, you can add them as a co-owner, or you can add them as run-only users. And when you add them, you can actually type in their names, or you can also include a security group. We'll be adding Office 365 groups as well. So the best way is to like share it with that user, and then they'll get an email with details about how they can invoke that flow.
Now, I mean, as an example, right, so we tried to set it up for Power BI. So we had your KPI falls below a point. You know, you get a notification and a link with the report on it. And my users don't want to get those, but their managers want them to. So, like,
right.
So is there a way to force it, though, not just share it with them? Or is it just the share and they have
I mean, if you're – so it depends on what kind of flow you're trying to set up. For example, if you're trying to alert them, they'll automatically get alerted as a result of the flow. There's really – I mean, it depends on – it's the kind of – the power is in your hand. You're choosing to send them an email, and they can opt out of it if necessary, but by default, they'll get those emails. So they're already beneficiaries of that flow because it's an automated workflow. If it's not manual, it's automatic, and they automatically get the benefit of it.
Okay. Thanks.
Thanks. Yeah. Okay. Yes. Yes, sir. That is a good question. So yes, you're correct. And the question was, what about Flow in GCC, and can you export these out to a different environment? So yes, you're right. Flow is not in GCC right now. We're working on it. We're expecting to have it towards the second half of the year. In terms of can you export it out to a different environment, I believe the answer to that is yes, but I'd have to try it myself. But I'm pretty sure that you can create a flow, play around with it here, and then export it into another environment. The only restriction is that you won't be able to share that flow out. Yeah. Yes, sir.
My question is, with flow approvals,
yes.
Sending out a approval to someone who is, I guess, not part of the organization, an external third party, and then having the approval from them come back through to then cascade onto another flow,
right?
Is that possible?
Yeah, that's a great question. So currently, the way the approvals is designed is meant to be for users within the organization only. However, we do allow you to send what's known as an HTML email with options to people outside of your tenant. So it's similar to approvals, but we don't know the identity of who you're sending it to, so you don't get the benefits of push notifications and having it tracked in an approval center and that sort of thing. But you can send them an HTML email, and you can do the tracking yourself, for example, in SharePoint or SQL, et cetera. So there is a workaround that you can use.
Okay.
Yeah, great. I'm going to take one more question, and then I'll actually stand outside because I want to allow the people that are coming in after me to set up as well. But yes, sir.
So I was just going to ask, is there a certain SLA for flow? So like you were mentioning, kind of like an important type of a task there when your demo,
right?
If it just decided not to work one day or was really slow, is there a service level agreement for that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, our SLA is definitely, we strive for 99.99%. Oftentimes you will run into issues, but typically when these issues occur, they're actually due to like the underlying data source. So for example, Twitter, for example, sometimes we get throttled based on sending too many messages. And that's really just dependent on the individual API rather than the service as a whole. But you can be rest assured that for the Microsoft Flow services itself, or the O365 services, there's really no throttling. So it's very rare that you would run into any issues.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Oh, yes. Yeah, great. Sure, absolutely. Well, really appreciate you, coming and honoring me with the first session at Build. Thank you so much.
Thanks.